Earlier this week, the church received a phone call from a parishioner. It seems that the parishioner had received one of the letters that John Tyler and myself have sent out this year about our pledge campaign. This letter challenged this parishioner to take a step forward and make a pledge to the church. Of course, in reality, she did pledge. Well, yes, it wasn't very much of a pledge, but it was a pledge nonetheless. And so Lori Brown, never being one to miss an opportunity, challenged this person to increase their pledge. And the parishioner said, "Well, it's true I don't give much, I'll grant you that, but if I don't give very much, it's because I don't take very much from the church. I don't have kids in Sunday school, I'm not undergoing any heavy-duty counseling from the clergy, I haven't been in the hospital, I haven't staged a huge wedding lately, nor am I planning a funeral anytime soon. Most Sundays I'm away at the farm, so you see I just don't use the church very much." Now here, this Sunday, today is the day we ask you to make a financial commitment to the Church of St. Michael and St. George for the coming year. And if you're visiting with us this morning, I would take it as a sign from God that you are supposed to pledge to this church and stay here for the next year. We're glad you're here. But stewardship is not primarily about the financial needs of the Church of St. Michael and St. George. Stewardship is not about paying for what you use. Which is to say that in a nation of consumers, the church faces no greater challenge than moving you from membership to discipleship. Too many of us think of church like we think of our health club. You become a member of the health club by paying dues in church. That's a weekly or monthly offering. And having paid their dues, the members expect the services of the club to be at their disposal. Exercise equipment, weight room, aerobic classes, an indoor track, swimming pool, all for them, with a trained staff to see that they benefit from them as well. Members may bring a guest on occasion, but only those who pay their dues have the right to use the facility and the attention of their staff. And that's how this parishioner who called this week thought of the church. But to think of the church this way, like a health club, is not to grasp what's going on here, not to grasp who we are in Christ, and not to understand the mission that Christ has given the church. Yes, we must take seriously the experience of congregational members. But the church is not driven simply by its members' needs and wants. The church is driven by God's dreams and purposes for creation. The point is not membership. The church does not have clients, members, or consumers of goods and services. The point is discipleship. Now, sometimes I think we here in the church have diluted discipleship down to a small and trivial thing. I remember that old joke about the evangelist who, after preaching a long sermon, gave an altar call. "Come to the altar and give your life to Christ," he said. Nobody came. In frustration, the evangelist said, "Come to the altar," as a way of saying that you love and honor your God. Still nobody came. In even greater frustration, the evangelist appealed to the congregation, "Come to the altar," as a way of saying you want to live a better life. Nobody came. Finally, he said, "Look, if you love your mother, come down to the altar, okay?" The trouble is there's just no way to water down Jesus, so he's so vague and meaningless that 9 out of 10 of the consumers over at the Galleria are going to want to sign up for his project. Jesus' project is specific. Jesus' mission is to reestablish God's redemptive rule and reign. Jesus doesn't come to make bad people good. Jesus comes to make dead people alive. The gift and the choice are not good and bad. It's dead or alive. Are you really truly alive in Christ? And do you know what that means? Being alive in Christ means being someone in whom Christ's love can be experienced. And so rather than buying into the consumer model of church where the customer is king and the church meets the customer's needs, the church does more. The church redefines our needs. For Jesus gives us a new perspective on what we thought we needed and what we thought we could do without. Church is the place where you are transformed into people according to the life and pattern revealed by God in Jesus Christ. Church is where you're united with Him and others who have found new life in Christ. Because Jesus knows something about you and me that we may not know about ourselves. God's dreams are always bigger than our dreams. And Jesus knows that we were created to be something more than consumers by God's grace. You're here this morning to become something more. Jesus knows that you were created by God to be a giver. Yes, even you. Created to be a giver. And being a giver is not optional for Christians. We actually believe that we were made for more than hoarding and grabbing and getting. We believe that in Christ, God Almighty has rewired us to be givers. So a primary task of the church is to take otherwise normal, innate American tendencies and reform them in the light of Jesus. Church is about giving people the critical means of assessing which needs in our lives have meaning and giving us needs we wouldn't have had if we hadn't met Jesus. A while back, I was talking to one of our most generous givers here in this congregation. And I wanted to know why he gave. So I asked him, "Why do you give to the church? I'm just trying to figure out why you're so darn generous. Why do you give?" I said. And he said, "Well, for me, I'm in a very demanding job. I'm giving everything I've got to my job. I'm trying to hang on in my profession. I mean, it's pretty usual for me to spend 50 hours a week at my job, and I've got this mortgage, and we live in a nice section of town, and I've got tuition for my kids' education. And so basically, when I'm putting something in the plate on Sunday morning, it's my own little way of saying, of just clenching my fist at the world and saying, okay, you've got most of me, but by God, you don't have all of me. There's at least 10% of me that's free. Free to stand apart. Free to stand apart from that the world is giving itself to. There's 10% of me that's participating in some larger, better project than just me and my family." I'm telling you, one of the most radical acts you will participate in this week is the passing of the plate here on Sunday morning. The open hand, it's just unnatural. And you can only get in on that action because Jesus is at work in you. And so stewardship can be a kind of clench-fisted act of defiance against all that says me and mine. Now, don't get me wrong. God can't be enriched by us. God has no needs that our possessions can satisfy. But God can be honored by the way we treat others in His name, by special acts which celebrate God's bounty, and by our willingness to trust God to supply all our needs when we understand that following Jesus means holding nothing back for His kingdom. Here, I think of the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. There on that hillside, Jesus and His disciples were in a position that the church has been in much of the time since then, that St. Michael and St. George is in today. You look out on this vast, unquenchable need sitting before you. You look out at all the requirements and the challenges. You look out there, maybe there are 5,000 people out there. And the disciples, having been to business school, the disciples say, "Send them away so they can buy something to eat." And then Jesus makes this interesting move. He turns to those who are following Him. He turns to His disciples and He says, "Well, what do you have?" And they say, "Hey, we didn't know the lecture was going to go on so long. All we've got is a few pieces of bread and some cold fish." And Jesus takes what they have. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it out. And miraculously, it's enough. And one of the best things about being part of the Church of St. Michael and St. George is that you can participate in that. Amen.